The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
And John the Baptist preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Oh Lord, please make your word alive today, Lord, by the Spirit, and to glorify our Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I do apologize for the chill in the air. Came in this morning to discover the service, the furnace is not working, so we're on that, and hopefully this week we'll get that fixed, but I do apologize that it's a little nippy in here. We have six Sundays to cover 33 years of Jesus' life. We have just gone from the birth of Christ, and on February 14th, we'll be at Ash Wednesday and begin to explore the death of Christ and the resurrection. But in between, we have the season of Epiphany. And you know the meaning of that word well. It means to be made known, to be made manifest, to make aware of something. And in the season of Epiphany, we will have stories of Jesus being made known, that he is the God and the creator of the universe, in a variety of different places, a variety of ways, he will be made known. Various times and various people. And it's interesting that we have the voice of God in all of our readings today, from Isaiah to the Psalm. The New Testament in Acts, of course, doesn't include the part, but Peter is on the roof and he hears a voice, right, that says, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." And then we have the voice from heaven in the Gospel of Mark. Epiphany begins. Epiphany is bookended with God's voice. The voice from heaven today at the baptism of Jesus, and when we reach the final Sunday of Epiphany in February, it will be Transfiguration Sunday, and we will again hear God's voice speak from heaven. And so the whole season is bookended by the voice of God. Now today in Adult Ed, if you were there and you were part of our discussion, we watched a video by an apologist, Dr. Jeff Myers, talking about the Christian worldview, and he gave the example of how God is relational. It's not that God does relate, but he is. He is in his makeup. He is relational. And Jeff Myers gave the example of a group of scientists who wanted to discover just how is it that we moved from apes to humans? How did we move from apes who cannot talk to human beings who are able to relate, human beings who are able to communicate? The ape cannot phonetically speak words or put words together. And so scientists were trying to discover how that happened, how that step was made. And they decided, you know what, we'll teach them some sign language. And a group of scientists get together, and they teach these apes some sign language. And surprisingly, some of them learned over 100 words in sign language. But something interesting happened. The more they taught the apes the sign language, all of a sudden, the more the apes started to hate them. And in fact, one ape, the very famous ape, Coco, actually bit the finger off of his trainer. They just got angry with the hand motions and with the hand language. So they decided to sit down and study this further and look at some of the tapes and study it and see what happened. And they realized, after watching all of the footage, that the apes were not communicating at all with their trainers. They were imitating. They were imitating. They were simply mocking with their hands, with their fingers, what the trainers were doing. It wasn't communication at all. The philosopher Mortimer Adler wrote a famous book years later, The Difference of Men and the Difference It Makes. And he said this in that book, "We taught the apes to communicate only to realize they have nothing to say." They have nothing to say. Why? Because humans are created in the image of God. And relating is who God is. It's who He is. If you are reading the lectionary, you know that we begin every year in the daily lectionary, we begin right in Genesis 1, and you don't have to get very far in Genesis chapter 1, and you have, "And God said," and "God said," and over again, we get that phrase in Genesis chapter 1, "And God said." When we get to chapter 3, in the fall of Adam and Eve, we find that Adam and Eve are hiding, and God is walking in the garden, and God now is calling out, "Where are you? Where are you?" Looking for the man and the woman. He is a God who is relational, a God who speaks to His creation. The New Testament opens in Matthew chapter 2, immediately with a very strange group of people, right? We often think of the Magi when we think of Epiphany, but that's just one story of Epiphany, when the baby is made known at birth, right? But we think of the Magi when we think of Epiphany. And they come upon us in Matthew chapter 2 immediately. A strange, strange group. They're non-Jewish. They're Chaldeans. They're from a far away eastern place. Now the Chaldeans were known as a people who would hear the voice of God. They would hear the voice of God. We first read about Chaldean people hearing God's voice back in Genesis, right? A guy named Terah and his son, Abram, who later becomes Abraham, the very father of the Jewish nation. Where are they living? We know that they were in this place called Ur of the Chaldeans, and we even know from other texts that Terah, that they were not worshipers of God. They were worshipers of idols, these Chaldeans. And God speaks. And these Chaldeans hear God's voice. We also read about Chaldeans in the book of Daniel. And this is a group of sorcerers, of magicians, of astrologers, that somehow they got messages. They came to the king. They could read dreams. They knew things. Daniel speaks about them. How is it that these strange visitors from the east become the very first witnesses of Jesus, that he is the King of the Jews? They knew it before the Jews knew it. That he is the Redeemer of the world. They knew it before anyone else. Now, there are other people in the Old Testament that have scholars puzzled. People who were non-Jews, people who were Gentiles. There's no way that they really should have known God, the God of the universe. And yet, they come on the pages of Scripture and were stymied as to why are they believers? What about this guy, Melchizedek, this priest in the book of Genesis? He just comes on the pages of Scriptures, and all of a sudden he's referenced again in the book of Hebrews. He's this beginning with no beginning, no end, this very unique person who is a priest who comes to Abraham. Rahab in Jericho, she takes the spies, and in this evil place that's about to be destroyed, somehow Rahab is a believer. Jethro, the father of Moses, out there in the desert, knows God. And then there's someone I never heard of, Ebed-Melech. And we read about Ebed-Melech in Jeremiah chapter 38. Ebed-Melech is a Cushite. He's a non-believer. And so you have the prophet Jeremiah. He's telling the Jewish people what God has said. Now, this is what God has said. This is what you have to do. This is how you have to change. And they're furious. They don't want to hear it. They want no part of it. And they take Jeremiah for speaking God's word, and they throw him in a cistern, right? They throw him in a well. But if you read through the chapter, along comes this Cushite, a guy who has nothing to do with God's people, Ebed-Melech, and he delivers Jeremiah. He gets rags and all of these things, and he makes sure that Jeremiah has them under his arms so they could put ropes under there and they can pull him up out of the cistern, and he won't be bruised, he won't be hurt. And later on in Jeremiah 38, God speaks to Ebed-Melech and says, for what? He says, I'm going to bless you because you were listening to me. When nobody else was listening to me, my own people weren't listening to me, you were listening. Scholars have no idea how these various people seem to have relationships with God. He has a great desire to communicate with his creation, to get our attention. Sometimes, in very strange ways, God will try and get your attention. Do you remember the story of Balaam? Right? Balaam was going out on his donkey to curse the people, and God had the donkey speak to Balaam to get Balaam's attention. Look, pal, you're going in the wrong direction. You're going the wrong way here. And the donkey had to tell him. Elijah heard a gentle whisper, a still small voice, when God spoke to him. John, on the island of Patmos, he heard the voice and he was terrified. It was like roaring thunder. It was fearful. I fell down, he says, as a dead man. He wants desperately to get our attention, to hear what he has to say. Christianity Today has been doing a series of what they call pop-up stories about Southeast Asia. And they're just very short videos that are very encouraging, that tell about the things God is doing in these persecuted places. And they tell the story of Chanda. Chanda and his friends were broadcasting the good news. They were broadcasting, and they don't name the country because of persecution and they want to protect people, but they had a broadcast sending out God's word. And so the authorities jammed the signal. Well, Chanda doesn't know what to do. He's distraught. He walks and walks days and days out in the sunlight, out in the heat, praying at night in the cold. God, what do I do? What do I do? How do I fix this? And all of a sudden, he sees a cow herder. And this cow herder is talking on a cell phone. And Chanda says, wait a minute, there's not a signal out here. How are you on a cell phone? The cow herder says, well, I'm not talking. I'm just listening. And that's it. That's it. Chanda gets it. He goes back. He goes back and he makes this chip for phones. He and his friends, and they put together this, they make this chip in a phone that you can listen. You can listen to Christian music. You can listen to Christian preaching. You can listen to the Bible. And Christian stories. And all of a sudden, hundreds of people have these phones and are listening. And then thousands. And then you go into the city and you go into stores and you know what? You can hear people on phones that have these chips and they're hearing God's word. At last count, 700,000 people are listening to Chanda's chips, hearing God's voice. God is always on the move in surprising places, in surprising ways, wanting to make himself known, wanting to get our attention. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times in various ways, the book of Hebrews says. But now in these last days, he has spoken through his Son, trying to make himself known. Are we listening? Are we listening? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.